went to investigate in the morning, they found that the trees had been smashed in a broad swathe that started on the hubmost shore of the atoll and made a line of total destruction pointing precisely edgewise, littered with broken lianas, crushed bushes, and a few bewildered and angry oysters. They were high enough now to see the wide curve of the rim sweeping away from them, lapped by the fluffy clouds that mercifully hid the waterfall for most of the time. From up here, the sea, a deep blue dappled with cloud shadows, looked almost inviting. Rincewind shuddered. "Excuse me," he said. The hooded figure turned from its contemplation of the distant haze and raised its wand threateningly. "I don't want to use this," it said.
"You don't?" said Rincewind.
"What is it anyway?" said Twoflower.
"Agendura's wand of utter negativity," said Rincewind. "And I wish you'd stop waving it about. It might go off," he added, nodding at the wand's glittering point. "I mean, it's all very flattering, all this magic being used just for our benefit, but there's no need to go quite so far. And..." "Shut up!" The figure reached up and pulled back its hood, revealing itself to be a most unusually tinted young woman. Her skin was black, not the dark brown of Urabewe, or the polished blue-black of monsoon-haunted Klatch, but the deep black of midnight at the bottom of a cave. Her hair and eyebrows were the colour of moonlight. There was the same pale sheen around her lips. She looked about 15, and very frightened. Rincewind couldn't help noticing that the hand holding the wand was shaking. This was because a piece of sudden death, wobbling uncertainly a mere 5 feet from your nose, is very hard to miss. It dawned on him, very slowly, because it was a completely new sensation, that somewhere in the world was frightened of him. The complete reverse was so often the case that he'd come to think of it as a kind of natural law.
"What is your name?"
he said, as reassuringly as he could manage. She might be frightened, but she did have the wand. "If I had a wand like that," he thought, "I wouldn't be frightened of anything. So what in creation can she imagine I could do?"
"My name is Immaterial," she said.
"That's a pretty name," said Rincewind.
"Where are you taking us and why? I can't see any harm in your telling us." "You are being brought to Krull," said the girl. "And don't mock me, Hublander, else I'll use the wand. I must bring you in alive, but no one said anything about bringing you in whole. My name is Marchesa, and I am a wizard of the 5th level, do you understand?"
"Well, since you know all about me, then you know that I never even made it to Neophyte," said Rincewind. "I'm not even a wizard, really." He caught Twoflower's astonished expression and added hastily, "Just a wizard of sorts."
"You can't do magic because one of the 8 great spells is indelibly lodged in your mind," said Marchesa, shifting her balance gracefully as the great lens described a wide arc over the sea. "That's why you were thrown out of Unseen University. We know."
"But you said just now that he was a magician of great cunning and artifice," protested Twoflower.
"Yes, because anyone who survives all that he has survived, most of which was brought on himself by his tendency to think of himself as a wizard, well, he must be some kind of magician," said Marchesa. "I warn you, Rincewind, if you give me the merest suspicion that you are intoning the great spell, I really will kill you."
She scowled at him nervously. "Seems to me your best course would be just to, you know, drop us off somewhere," said Rincewind. "I mean, thanks for rescuing us and everything, so if you'd just let us get on with leading our lives, I'm sure we'd all..."
"I hope you're not proposing to enslave us," said Twoflower.
Marchesa looked genuinely shocked.
"Certainly not. Whatever could have given you that idea? Your lives in Krull will be rich, full, and comfortable."
"Oh, good," said Rincewind.
"Just not very long."
Krull turned out to be a large island, quite mountainous and heavily wooded, with pleasant white buildings visible here and there among the trees. The land sloped gradually up towards the rim, so that the highest point in Krull in fact slightly overhung the edge. Here the Krullians had built their major city, also called Krull, and since so much of their building material had been salvaged from the circumfence, the houses of Krull had a decidedly nautical persuasion. To put it bluntly, entire ships had been mortised artfully together and converted into buildings. Triremes, dhows, and caravels protruded at strange angles from the general wooden chaos.
Painted figureheads and hublandish dragon prows reminded the citizens of Kral that their good fortune stemmed from the sea.